Okay, so we're starting off a big series. Mitz Shem every Sunday. We're going to get together. Bring your friends, bring your friends' friends, bring yourselves. And we're going to be... Truth is, I always have a hard time giving hakdamas.
What does that mean?
Introductions. Because I feel like every introduction needs an introduction. Kind of like every introduction needs an introduction for that. That's why Rabbi Nachman once said that everything he ever said is just an introduction.
I'm very confused.
Like...
Basically, like,
me too. I mean, that's the problem. Like, I.
But you're introducing me, so I'm going to introduce him. But you're introducing something else.
Yeah, it's just
hard. But whatever he's introducing, he's going to have to introduce later.
Seriously, it's like you can't even say words without introducing the words you're saying. Think about trying to teach somebody English, speaking English. You have to introduce English before you introduce English.
So, when do you
introduce? So, like, try introducing an idea, but, like, there's an idea of introduction to the idea.
Well.
Okay, enough. Enough. Sorry.
I got here in my head.
So, but at least you can give a little bit. So, we're going to be speaking about a lot of dead people. Say nice. So, my question for you gentlemen, and the massive crowd, you in the back. Why do you think it's important to speak about dead people? Did you think first?
I know, I actually thought about this. Because I've heard this question before.
Ethan, yes.
It's good to think about that so you can understand their past, and so that you can keep their image living on.
Interesting. So like a family member?
Yeah, you want to keep their memory alive.
Keep the memory alive.
So you don't talk about them, you don't forget about them, because they have no presence to make, so you have to keep building their presence.
Interesting. So you keep dead people alive, you speak about them. Interesting. Mesh?
Well, I think, like, if you look all the way back at, like, the Avot, like, what we're doing lately in the Parshas, like, you kind of see, like, the mitos they had, and then we kind of look back, like, that's the only way we grow up, I guess, if we look at our parents, who then looked at their parents.
So you're saying...
Just go back further in time, we figure out how to, like, act ourselves and, like, be better people.
So you're saying, in two words, role modeling.
Yeah.
You speak about Avraham Avinu, you think, like, Avot, that's what I can be.
Goodbye, Yeshi.
To my sheet. Thank
Whoa,
you.
Good word.
Thank you. I would take it one step further, even just to phrase the same thing but a little bit differently. Is that if Elie Weinstein is born in 2019 or whatever 1994 in the world that I'm born in, what's the greatest I can become? I don't really know. Like, I can look at the 7 billion people around me and say, okay, fine, like, people are kind of okay and maybe I can be a little bit more than okay. But when you look at, like, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, 4,000 years of the greatest Jews that ever lived, you can kind of say to yourself, like, whoa, look what I really can be. I could go my potential. I think we mistake a lot of, like, not really realizing how great we can be. Reisenstein said, are you at the Tisch?
Yes, I passed out.
Passed out. Reisenstein said at the Tisch that he thinks that people only actualize 5% of their potential.
That's crazy.
Only 5%?
5 to 10, he said.
That's crazy, because...
It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
I usually think that you'd say 40, 50.
You
can... Mamish, 5 to 10.
You can't even...
But why would you think 40, 50? Because you don't know what your potential is.
You have no idea what you're saying.
If you knew what your potential would be, you would say 5. You would say 10, maybe, at best. But if, like, if I realize, oh my gosh, like, there's, like, incredible people in the world, and, like, I also can be incredible. Gamaniachol. Right, I can also do it. So that's, I think, one of the main reasons. Ethan's idea was great also, so that no one's ever dead in Judaism if there's always people talking about them. That's why it's so cool that we have 3,000 years of... Something like 3,000... since Avraham Avinu, it's been 3.5, a little more 3,500 years. He was born in 1948. It's good to remember.
What?
He was born in 1948.
Who? Like, Avraham Avinu. 1948, like BC?
No, like, if you're counting 57, 80. So in 1948, Avraham Avinu was born.
Oh, really?
So say that's our beginning, so it's like, what, 3,800 years?
What happened before then?
What was that, like, 1948?
Adam.
So he was born?
Like, Adam was one,
Avram
was 1948.
Not like the,
oh, because he was...
Not the Christian calendar.
It's crazy, because that means that Avram was born almost 2,000 years after Adam. And, like, you think about in our life, like, we can't even think past 2,000 years. Like, 2,000 years based on Mikdash. Like, that's all... Like, the difference between me and the base of Mikdash is the difference between Adam and Avram Avinu. But it's like two parts.
BC means before Christ, right?
What? Yeah.
Before Christ.
That's why we say BCE, before the Common Era. Because we don't want to refer to Jesus as the Savior. Because he didn't save anybody.
Yeah, because
he walked on water.
He just died.
All those people on Venuda.
But okay, but I would say that that's probably the main reason. I mean, just like also simple reasons is like we also if you learn from people that are dead, you also have like unlimited rebbeim. Like how many rebbeim are there to our Chaga?
Probably like 30.
Let's say like 30, but how many rebbeim are there ever?
More than
thousands.
A couple.
Like thousands, not millions, but probably thousands, maybe millions.
Million.
So like million. You get to choose from like thousands of rebbes, whatever. So these are all really incredible reasons. Good reasons. If you're asking me what's the main reason that we're here for, it's role modeling. To learn from them, to have rebbeim, because there's been such unique tzaddikim that like it's like a shame to not learn from them. It's much incredible rebbeim. So how do you learn from them?
Talk about them.
Talk about them. You learn their stuff. So tonight's opening night. So I'll talk about my wife's favorite tzaddik. It's Tiferes Shlomo. Shlomo Verdumsk. Shlomo Verdumsk, his birth is a little bit unclear when he was born. He's born, some say 1796, some say 1801.
What?
Just because like no one necessarily knows. Think about it. In those days, like it wasn't Pasha.
We're not going to Pasha yet.
Yeah, also like when you're born in the middle of Poland, somewhere in the shtetl, like unless you remember when you were born, like who's caring?
So we don't know how old he was when he died?
Different theories, but
just
he was around 60, 65. He died in 1866. If you think about that, when was the Revolutionary War?
1776.
When was the Civil War?
1856.
It's interesting, it's around the same time. Like, he died right, like I say, after the Civil War, which is very interesting.
Yeah, the Civil War.
What? No, he was in Poland. He was in Radomsk. But it's just interesting that I like to sometimes parallel like American history with like what's going on in Poland.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's nuts.
We learned two different like things.
While this is going on, this is going on.
The exact thing happening.
Are there any Jews in the American revolution?
In America? Yeah, for sure. I visited many of their graves.
Really?
In Charleston.
Yeah, I went also.
Really?
Camp Stone took us.
Fascinating.
On our Maha, we went
South Carolina.
On a trip and went to a small Jewish cemetery.
In where?
In... Somewhere, I don't know Charleston. Maybe it was in, like, somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But there were a lot of Jewish soldiers. A lot of Jewish soldiers that died, and I went to their cover. It was very, very interesting. Anyways, so I'll tell you a little bit about him, because he's very, very interesting. So he was born in like I said, around 1800. And he actually was not born with a last name, because they didn't always have last names then. His kids took the name Rabinovich. It's a very close friend of mine, Avi Rabinovich, but I don't think he's related.
Well, so what name did he
He's actually related to Levi, it's like a Berditchev, not Tiferes Shlomo. But, his leadership started, let's say, 1843. He was hired as the Rav, not the Rebbe, the Rav in Radomsk. And in 1844, everyone's like, yeah, let's like, be our Rebbe. Yeah, there's the Rav is like, you know, like the Rav, we have Five Town, the Rochelle, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But a Rebbe is like it's like a father figure. Rebbe is like you come to him with all your problems, you speak about everything, he helps you, he cares about you. He's like he's much more spiritually inclined, let's say, than a Rav. And what was such a remarkable thing, we'll learn who about everybody is eventually. His main Rebbe was Rav Meir of Apta. Okay, fine. So one of the things that made the Tiferes Shlomo so special, Rav Shlomo of Radomsk, is that he was, yeah, nachon. That he was a crazy Baal Tefillah.
I don't know that.
Baal Tefillah.
I don't know that.
Can't
remember. Okay,
10 o'clock. He was like an amazing Baal Tefillah. I'll give you an amazing story. He would say like this. He would write a lot of nigunim from Shlomo.
Do you know any of his?
I don't know them, but there are nigunim. I was trying to learn them today, but it's a little too hard.
Can we have them learn?
Yeah, we'll try it after, maybe. But he wrote a lot of nigunim, and he would say that if you come into Yontif, this is very interesting, come into Yontif with a new nigun, it's like coming in with like a beautiful esrog.
Wow.
Like, he would write nigunim for every single Yontif.
You have a nigun?
And he would, Baruch Hashem, so we'll sing it after. He would tell, like, even his chassidim would compose nigunim and give them as gifts. Because, like,
wow,
nigun is...
an awesome feeling.
Because a nigun's a tefillah. And again, it's an emotion, an expression, sometimes to Hashem, hopefully a spiritual expression. So like for him, like he would have Miliamar. And it's a good ma'aseh. So one of his rebbeim or people that he would visit, his name was Rav Yecheskel of Kuzmir. Cool name. And he would go, this is a very, very amazing story. He was invited to go like daven on Shavuos. So he got there a few days early. He comes for Shabbos, Friday night. Maybe in two different times. So he's coming one time for Shabbos. And Rav Yecheskel's, how do you say, Machudin. It's Machudin, his name is Rav Emanuel. And he said to Rav Yecheskel of Kuzmir, he said, listen, this guy, Rav Shlomo Verdams, that's coming, he's an incredible Baal Tefillah. And the way that he davens for the Amud, it uplifts the entire shul. Like everyone is like exploding with joy when he's done. So you have to make sure he davens Kabbalah Shabbos. So he gets to shul, and Rav Yecheskel Kuzmir like understood, so you put him up to daven for the Amud. And Tefer Shlomo was like kind of a humble guy. Like he didn't even want to become Rav in the first place, or Rebbe in Radomsk, but they kind of pushed him. Like he gets up for the Amud, he kind of like davens normally, like a simple Baal Tefillah. And this guy, Rav Emanuel, who knew him, he goes over and he whispers to him, he said, in this shul, they have the minhag to say Anam Zmiros on Friday night. Yeah, and okay. Have you ever looked at Anam Zmiros, the translation? No. But do you know what it is? So next time you get a chance, take a look at Anam Zmiros. Preferably use the Koren translation, it's amazing. It's like the holiest, one of the holiest tefillahs.
Really?
It's all about, the whole thing's about Hashem.
Oh, no.
Just describing him in different words, and different, like it's like nuts. No. So the tefillah of Anam Zmiros, you look at it, there's some people say don't even say it at all, except for once a year because it's such a holy tefillah. That's why we only say it on Shabbos, actually. Anam Zmiros. Like, you know, we say Shir HaKavod on Yom Kippur? So this is like, it's like a Shir HaKavod. It's like a crazy, crazy, crazy holy tefillah. So once he started saying it, like, he got so engrossed in the tefillah, so he stopped being like a simple Baal tefillah, and he was davening with such like emotion, such like fervor. And the entire shul was like shining from his tefillah. Like that's the kind of Baal tefillah he was. One time they also, you ever heard of, you know what Akdamos are? You know, like Virgil, they do it on Shavuos. It's like a whole long thing of Akdamos in the Siddur. No one knows what it is. It's in Aramaic. And like whatever, you kind of just do it.
Is that the morning after the whole night learning?
Yeah, they do it in the morning. So everyone's asleep. Everyone's asleep, and those who are awake are like, okay, what is going on? So to show you how little we understand what it is, he was once invited to do Akdamos for also Rav Yecheskel of Kuzmir. And he comes and he prepares with a choir of 80 Jews.
That's awesome.
And they sing.
Say Kanye now.
Is that crazy? And they sang Akdamos together.
Really?
Like that, with like a choir. And everyone said, like, everyone was trembling. Like how? Everyone felt like it was like Malin Torah, like crazy.
You know Kanye nowadays does that.
Choir?
Yeah, like for church. He's a church now. He's a leader of a church.
He's very from.
He just makes a lot of money off of
his Hashem.
For the church.
Hashem, he's very from.
So he saw a video of James Corden on an airplane. Like, they flew, I don't know where they're flying from, like, LA to New York.
Yeah.
But the whole entire flight, the whole entire airplane was his choir. And they were just singing the whole, and like, it,
cool.
It sounded really good. It was definitely his voice music.
Gospel, so
well, yeah, but like this is the
so cool.
The way this was it, man. The way that his Rebbe described him was like the flapping of the wings of the Kruvim, his voice. Like, I don't even know what that means. They don't say it about me and you. So look, I want us to look for 3 minutes to learn a little bit from what he says about Tzaddikim. Here, look, take a look at this. I made copies all by myself. I only know one. You don't have to look in if you don't want to. If you do, you're going to read it.
Which paragraph?
I'll show you. It is the one. Yeah, but I'll show it mine. On the right side. So the time that I told you that his Rebbe said that your voice sounds like the Kruvim flapping wings, he was singing, he was eating by them Friday night, and he sang Kol Makadesh himself, like as a solo. And that's when his Rebbe said that. And this is a line from Kol Makadesh. Tzidkasam, right? Tzidkasam tatir kior shivas hayamim. So that means that tzaddik. So he's singing that, and it was like, whoa, the Kruvim. So look at this. I'll read it quickly, but look inside. It's mamish beautiful. So hanizkar le'el, tzidkasam tatir, the light of the tzaddik, shines, like the light of the 7 days of creation. This is in the beginning of his Sefer Moadim. It's Farish Lama. Look, this is the cover. This is what he wrote.
You wrote his own book?
Yeah. This is what he wrote. Your two books. Look at this. Hanirali the Rames Bazem Maila Satzadikim. This is explaining the level of tzadikim. Asher mi piem anu chayim, we're living from their life. Himim shichu oros mi lamala ulahoros es bnei yisod derech hayishar levodas avorei brichu. That they brought down light from Shemayim to teach us the way to live. Kol yimei chayim lahayir pnei tevo, all of their lives to light us up. Now this is fascinating. Lachen gam behistalkusam, even when they die, me'olam hazeh, they leave the world. V'yoshev mechovot Gan Eden, and they're sitting in Gan Eden. Hinei odam mistaklim le'olam hazeh. They're looking down into this world. Be'enei bekicha, with open eyes. Ve'or torosam nishpa le'kol adoros aboyim achareim. Bal yimut. And their Torah, which is very meta, by the way, because we're learning Torah of someone who's dead, about learning the Torah of someone who passed away.
Who are you talking about?
What?
Who is he talking about?
Someone us.
Who?
He's talking about any Rav, any Rebbe, that had tzaddikim, or that had talmidim, or chassidim, whatever, in this world. When they die, they go up to Shemayim, and their influence is still being felt in this world. Kasherim yodim ki kol tanugim, every ounce of enjoyment that a tzaddik gets in Gan Eden, al yidei pu'ulasam hatova ba'olam hazeh, is what happens in this world. V'zeh peretz tzedkasam tatzik or shivas yamim, that's what this pasuk means. That the light of tzaddikim shine for 7 days, because he says in Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Bria was Bishisha Yamim, Uvayom Hashvi, Shavas Vainafash, and then the 7 days Hashem rested. Achar kach chozer chalila, then the whole world goes again for 7 more days, and Hashem not creating anymore. The tzaddikim do all they can when they're alive, and then the world keeps on getting influenced by them for eternity. Or the tzaddikim te'ir lenetzach, it goes forever and ever. Now scroll down a little bit, you see a little mark on the page there?
Yeah.
Kain hatzadik began Eden. El makomo shayi ba'olam hazeh shoev. The tzaddik, when he's in Gan Eden, is looking down to the place where he was, and he's yearning the mishtokik liyo zoreach sham or kedushasot, to shine his light once again on the place where he was. V'zeh shekasev, this is mamish beautiful. V'zara kadosh al Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Dome dodi latzvi. The pasuk in Shir Shirim says that my beloved is like a deer.
A deer?
A deer.
Like.
Mamish, a running deer with antlers. Exactly like you. And look at this. Did you know that when a deer is running, you ever seen this? A deer is running, they go so fast. No, that's when they're not running. When a deer is running, they're also looking back. They look back. Even as they're running 50 miles per hour, they look back.
Wow.
This is what they do. Look what it says. Bishah ruts. And the moment that the deer is running, shu ledarko, hu hopech rosho l'acharav, the deer turns back even as it's running away. When a tzaddik is finally being freed from his guf, his neshama is finally free, going to heaven, going to Gan Eden, he's looking back at us. Where did I get status? Where did I get anything, Gan Eden? Because of me, because of what happened down here. And that's what Avram was like as well. He says that Avram was Paul of great things. But that's what it means. When you learn the Torah of a tzaddik, right now, I just want you to know, what we just read, what's going on in Gan Eden in this moment, is a big smile on the face of the Tiferet Shlomo.
Sure it is.
He's mamish sitting in Gan Eden, smiling. Simcha mamish. Why? Because we are learning what he wrote.
That's crazy.
Because the light that he brought into the world, you can wait, I don't know where he is. Maybe he's in this chair, right? The light that he brought into this world is mamish, is a flame right now.
It's crazy.
I have a little candle here, it's a little bit symbolizing that. But that's unbelievable. So one of the things we're doing is role modeling, learning from the tzaddikim. On the other hand, we're also bringing their light into the world. We're learning from the Tiferet Shlomo. We're learning what it means to appreciate the light that's been shown, even though it was 200 years ago. 150 years ago, we're becoming Talmidim of Rebbeim we've never seen, we've never met. But we're going to meet them week by week. Get to know them. Get to be Talmidim of them.
Oh, I didn't even want to come to this. I don't get it.
And you'll call. Listen.
We're going to get. Next week we'll bring two people. And then they'll bring Hebrew.
Don't you worry.
And then I guess we'll have this whole
But let's just chazer before I make one last point. It's not going to go so late. It's Sunday night. Got a long week ahead of us. Baruch Hashem.
It's actually shortened week this week. No,
you have to have extra energy for your Thanksgiving. Yom Ha'odah Hashem. So what did we speak about? We asked the main question. Why is it important to learn about dead people? Excellent answer from Ethan. Okay, we got to learn about dead people because... got to keep them alive. Right, the Gemara says, Sfasav dovos bekever, their lips. When you speak Torah from someone, their lips are moving while they're in their grave.
That's
whack. Right, it's pretty whack, yeah.
It's kind of scary.
And then Moshe gave an excellent point. That the reason we learn from them is to learn from them. To learn about them, to understand how, what we can become. To understand what our potential can be. Think about this. The Tiferes Shlomo, when he davened for the Amud, he would uplift everybody. He wasn't in Moshe Rabbeinu giving an incredible drush. That was how Moshe Rabbeinu does it. He was at the Amud. Think about this. Next time you get up for the Amud, what you can do.
I don't know how to do it.
Can you even fathom what that means? Can we? Maybe get up and mamash, the whole tzibur is a flame because of your tefillah. That's a madrega. It's one of my dreams. I hope to be able, it's one of my dreams this year to become a better Baal Tefillah. So you can mamash, think about it. The right tune, the right energy, the right emotion, you can really change. Think about the difference, you know, a chazan is getting through it, the chazan that's mamash, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, you can do it, we can do something, we can daven better for the, like,
right.
And the Tiferes Shlomo, like we said, so he's from 1800s, Radomsk, Poland. He was the Rav, he was a Rebbe, he was a crazy, amazing Baal Tefillah. Inspirational daven for the Amud. Cared about everybody. Wrote Nigun and connected to Hashem through song. There's a lot of... I mean, this is what we spoke about while you were passed out on Friday night. That there's many, many, many ways in Avodas Hashem. There's many ways in Avodas Hashem. And this is one beautiful one. The beauty of learning about so many tzaddikim, learning about them, is that they all have different ways. We're not just learning about this guy learned 50, you know, this guy knew Gemara, this guy knew Gemara. No, this guy was a Gemara, and this guy was a Baal Tefillah, and this guy was a crazy Baal Chesed. Like, everyone's unique, I'm going to learn a lot about all of them. But, what do we have to do when we finish every single shir? Which song? What do we, like, what's the point? Is this a lecture? Are we in college?
No.
Is this a history lecture?
No.
What is it?
This is a history.
It's a time to grow in Avodas Hashem. And what's the one thing we have to do that? Ask ourselves.
What does this mean to
us? Mazeh Omer Li. Mazeh Omer Li. So y'all, hopefully...
Listen,
until I write a niggun for Yahrzeits, we're going to have to sing this one at the end, and the Yahrzeit one we'll have to start off with. Oh, maybe I'll try to write a niggun this coming week, for next week.
Wow.
In the spirit of Tiferes Shlomo. Can't video if I can sing.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah, what about you?
Sorry, I'm gonna sing. I'll have a voice for you.
But don't just sing, I think about it. Amish, what does the Tiferes Shlomo's life say to you?
Mazel Meli.
Until next week, gentlemen.
Tomorrow.
Well, so we'll be back here next week.
We'll be back here.
Oh, it's Mondays.
What's Mondays?
We're usually in here.